Radio.com.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten,
the boss is back.
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Good news, everyone.
Mace.
Hello, peasants.
Omega.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
You don't hear me not complaining.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't you dig that? Suck it!
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Wrestle Talk Radio on a Sunday night right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I am Mace, and we're missing an Omega. We're trying to find his location. We have scouts out in the world trying to find him. If you do see him, there is no reward, so don't bother trying to tell us where he is. But other than that, we did find somebody else. He was off in the wilds of Canada. We found Mr. Tim Stein.
That would be me. Yeah, I'm back after a two-week hiatus. Of course, people are saying, where the hell have you been the last 2 weeks? Believe it or not, this has actually happened over the last 2 weeks. People have asked where the hell I've been. Here's where I've been. Okay, Father's Day was 2 weeks ago, at least in North America. I don't know about, like, you know, other places in the world. You know, United States or Europe, they have different dates for different shit. So, I don't know. Anyway, Father's Day here in North America. It's an annual thing. I disappear on Father's Day. Of course, last week I was working out of town and didn't get home in time.
So you lied. You said you were on assignment. God, such a liar.
Well, no. I was on assignment for my job. The assignment was working out of town.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and I'm in the middle of a three-day-long weekend. My boss made me work through my Monday-Tuesday my normal days off last week, so I said, to hell with it. I'm not working this weekend.
Sticking it to the man. All right.
Yeah, something like that. So that's where I was. Officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night, the original, the best, the real one, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, of course, in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, it is Stampede Week. The great 10-day Calgarian Drunk Fest is on.
Hooray.
Yeah. Chase in the chat room is asking what the hell I do. I'm assuming he's wondering what my profession is. I work for, and this is going to sound absolutely horrible, I work for a little company called MasterCard.
And he's not going to give any other explanation besides that.
I sign people up to get free groceries. There you go. That's what I do. I just stand around all day and say, well, here we go. Let's fill this shit out. No, I can't tell you if you've been, if you qualify yet or not. You'll find out in 8 days. Fuck off.
Pretty much, he stalks you in a supermarket.
There you go.
That's what he does.
Get your ass over here and get some free fucking cookies, bitch. I mean, I've said shit like that. It amazingly enough, it hasn't gotten me into trouble yet. Of course, I do pick and choose who I say stuff like that to, like people I know.
Plus, we can call you Hero Tim Stein?
Yeah, well, I wasn't even going to bring it up, but thanks for bringing it up. I stopped somebody shoplifting on Friday, was it?
Friday.
As a matter of fact, it was Friday.
Yes.
Somebody was trying to steal over $200 worth of steaks and roasts, and I caught the bastard red-handed, chased him outside of the store, and was within 3 seconds of throwing down with him.
Thankfully, he didn't have to throw down.
Well, thankfully for him, we didn't get a chance to throw down. I yelled at him, don't come back. He threw his bike down. He just dropped his bike and started walking towards me. And I just started smiling. I just started grinning. I'm like, right on. come get some. Then I looked down, and I noticed that I was holding this $2,000 tablet. Electronic internet connected tablet that was entrusted to me by my employers. And if anything happens to that, I'm responsible for it. So, like, if it gets broken, I got to pay them $2,000, which is bullshit. But, you know, I looked down and it said President's Choice, and I'm like, oh, shit. And so I was basically saved any trouble by one of the clerks actually came out of the store and says, yeah, go in. I know what, you know, like he knew what the deal was. And he says, yeah, don't worry about it. So lucky for the guy, but I'll probably see him in a couple of weeks when he tries to steal more shit.
And you'll be right there to stop him again.
Yeah, well, you know, the owner is leaving, and I said to him, well, just in case you didn't hear, this is what happened today. He goes, really? And I said, yeah, and it was the same guy. He's been banned from the location, and by showing up, he's trespassing, which is enough to get him a couple of days in jail and a court date. So he shows up again. The boss said to me, well, not my boss, but the owner of the store said to me, yeah, just, you know, like, if he comes in again, let us know. We'll get him for trespassing. And I told him about, you know, coming really close to throwing down with him. And he said, well, you probably don't want to do that because – and then he hesitated and said, wait a minute. You don't work for me. If you can find somebody to hold the tablet, have fun. Teach him a lesson. So anyway, that was my Friday. How was yours, Mace?
I sat around and created videos.
You're my hero. Are they up on WTR Games Garage or on YouTube?
Well, one is. Another one's still in development.
All right. What are the videos about?
Basically, for anybody who hasn't heard it before, youtube.com/WTR Games Garage is where I put up video game reviews and opinions and other bits and pieces. I recently put up a review for JSTARS Victory Versus Plus on the PlayStation 4, also available on the Xbox One. I still have LEGO Jurassic World coming in, and I've still got to put together Batman Arkham Knight when I stop raging at the TV screen while I'm playing it.
Oh, that sounds ominous.
That's what happens when you go, hey, here's a whole new thing that we want to promote as our be-all, end-all, and it fucking sucks.
Uh-oh.
The Batmobile is terrible, people.
We'll be looking forward to that breakdown. WTR Games Garage, all you got to do is go to YouTube.com and then look for it. Do it after the program here. Catch yourself up on the shit that he does, because he does lots of pretty cool stuff. He even plays video games and talks to you about it.
Well, I would if I had something worth playing. My internet wasn't shit, but sure.
There you go. Yeah. That being said, we might as well jump into it. Before we do, I just received a text message. Yes, you missed me in action because you weren't there, and that's directed at somebody who's tuned in listening to us live. He lives in Northeast Calgary. So anyway, on with the show. Win and fail. Omega's not here, so Rock, I don't mind if you chime in with this one.
Yeah, he's probably put himself on silent, walked away from the computer, Tim.
Yeah, he probably has. Stupid son of a... Anyway, what was your win for the week, Mace?
My win for the week was about 80% of Beast from the East.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a really good show from their opener through to the semi-main event.
Uh-huh, you didn't like the main event.
No, and what a piss-poor way to close a house show.
Mm.
But everything from the production through to the commentary, the crowd being different, it felt like a completely different feel for the product, and I actually enjoyed that a lot more.
Yeah, it was a very, very entertaining program. Of course, I didn't catch it live because it's on at 3:30 a.m. Here, Saturday morning, and I tried staying up. I just, all of a sudden, my eyes felt like they had anvils tied to them around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. So I watched it in the mid-afternoon yesterday on a replay on the WWE Network thing. And it was quite enjoyable. And, okay, I get that you weren't a big fan of the main event and all this other stuff, but if we're going to be talking about Beast in the East in the second segment, we're really going to get into it in depth. As a matter of fact, Mace, you've, according to you, we have somebody who was actually at the show in Japan who's going to call in the second segment.
Yes, as per usual, for those of you who are listening either for the first time or haven't heard the show in a while, a friend of mine, Mr. Nick Diddy, who usually hangs out in our chat room, who isn't at the moment because he's a teacher in Japan, he was actually at the show that night, and he said he will call in just sort of give us the fans' perspective of what happened and sort of how it was sitting in the crowd watching, you know, actual wrestling for once. So yeah, in the second segment we will have somebody from Japan calling in. He speaks English, so don't worry, we won't need subtitles.
Well, you still might need subtitles
on radio. We still don't know.
Yeah, you still might need subtitles. He's from New Zealand originally.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, well, you know, that being said, how far-reaching is WrestleTalk Radio when we actually have a quote-unquote live report from a house show in Japan? That's awesome. That's just awesome. So, but yeah, like I say, we'll get into it a little bit deeper. And like I'm saying, I can understand your full of meh-ness or your bowls of empty bowls of fucks, so you don't have any to give for the main event. But we can talk about that because I've got opinions on why we had that for the main event. But yeah, my win for the week. You know, I can pick the exact same damn thing, but I'm actually going to pick last Monday night's Raw, the John Cena Cesaro match. That thing was off the hook. That was like, we're talking almost WrestleMania level of pay-per-view quality, that match. That was fun.
Well, that just goes to show that when, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, when you put John Cena up against somebody who actually has really good skills in the ring, Cena will up his game from his usual, I'm going to hit my now 7 moves of doom.
Yeah.
And when those guys just wrestle, it makes for good TV.
Yeah.
Even if they decide to blur out 1 second because they can't tell the difference between middle finger and ring finger.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that'll be my win for the week. The only thing, and I understand why they did it. It's not anything that soured me on it or anything like that. It just made me feel disappointed that we didn't get a clean finish. Of course, Kevin Owens busting the match up. Sure, okay, I get it, and it makes sense, and it's all storyline and everything. But it was disappointing. It just the match was that good. That even though you knew what was going to happen, Kevin Owens decided to come out and sit at the table for commentary. And when somebody like that does something like that, you know it's going to be a screw finish. But the match was so damn good that I was just really disappointed. That doesn't detract from me actually picking it as my win for the week. What was your fail, Mace?
Surprisingly enough, Raw.
The entire show?
Yeah, like, as good as Cena versus Cesaro was, mm-hmm. the rest of the show was terrible. Like, from top to bottom, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Bad matches, bad stories. I don't know what happened this week, but it just really felt like, the writers just didn't give a shit.
It was almost like, well, we've got to do this throwaway because we're going to Japan in 5 days.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, the opening segment, I haven't, like, sort of just completely stopped watching Raw for quite a while. I usually have it on, and I'll be watching. About halfway through, I sort of gave up and started playing games.
There you go.
And then when I... But I left it on in the background, so when the US title match came on and I saw the bit with Owens coming out first and that, and I'm like, oh, shit, here we go, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Then they bring out Cesaro. I'm like, sure, all right, you have my interest.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was like, cool. Oh, what's the next match? Lucha Dragons and Primetime Players versus Bo Dallas and New Day. I'm going back to games.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, when Raw starts to like suck or it's no good, I'll actually get up out of my chair, walk away from the computer and the TV, and you know, I'll do dishes or something. Have it on in the background and only half hear it. But I actually got a lot of dishes done last Monday. So even ones that weren't dirty, I washed them just for something to bloody do. So, but my fail ties in with yours somewhat, but it also is connected with my win for the week. The absolutely horrible viewership numbers for last Monday's Raw, and not because it was a show that was worth watching. It, like May said, it was like what it was one of those what the hell moments, if you will. You know, one of the WTF moments that we get every now and then. But the lack of viewership means that a lot of people didn't see the Cena Cesaro match, and that was the highlight of the night, that match. It was like a 5-star match for sure, definitely. And, you know, bugger the rest of Raw. If you only had a chance to tune in to watch that and then be done with it, you would have come away exceedingly happy. It's just too bad that everybody missed it. So that's my fail for the week, is Raw being so dreary lately that the ratings are really, really suffering. This is the worst ratings they've had since 1997, Mace.
Well, yeah, people aren't going to be watching if the product's not compelling.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the only times we really see a spike in the ratings lately, mm-hmm, is when that you know, that big thing that invaded Tokyo the other day pops up. I'm talking about Brockzilla.
Yep. Yeah, I almost wish with that poster where Brock is just like towering over absolutely everything, they almost made, you know, they did a little Godzilla tail that kind of came up behind him. That would have been fun. That's just me, anyway. So, yeah, that's our win and fail. We'd get one from Omega, but he's still missing in action, strangely enough. That's weird.
He could be asleep. He's been doing that lately.
I was just about to bring that up. I mean, he might have fallen asleep and couldn't get up because he's done that once or twice after staying up too late with too many joke colas, working on video and stuff like that, or whatever he does. So... Looks like Mr. Nick Diddy is in the chat room now. Still want to wait till the second segment?
Yeah, well, if he's able to type at the moment, then it's probably between classes, so.
Okay, so
we'll leave it till the second hour when he said he'd be able to call in, unless he changes his mind in the meantime.
Well, we've got another almost 40 minutes to kill, so why don't we just take a look at some news bits and stuff. Hey, WWE and What You Care are about to announce the cover superstar for Raw for the game. Who do you think it might be? Let's take guesses.
Should I really be guessing, considering I've already got hard assets from the company?
Do you know who it is?
I have 5 possibilities.
Then you don't know who it is.
No, I don't know, but I'm quite sure I will find out as soon as Raw has happened.
Yeah, but because you have 5 possibilities, that doesn't mean that it's going to be one of those 5 either. So Go ahead, take your best shot.
Given the detailing, and for those of you who are wondering of some of, at least four of those possibilities, you can head over to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork, where you will see a couple of mock-up covers I've already done featuring the likes of Finn Balor, Dean Ambrose, Paige, and Seth Rollins. As for who will probably get the cover, I'm finding it hard to choose between Balor and Rollins.
Really? One of those two, hey?
Yeah, I've got a feeling with the roster, like they're doing the roster of 120 unique characters. This is not like they're counting 5 John Cena's, 8 Mark Henry's, 15 Triple H's, 32 Mankind's.
No.
But it's basically 120 individual characters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the largest roster they've ever done. So they've got a lot of choices this time around. And given from what possibly could have been a leak, we've got modern day wrestlers, we've got NXT, we've got old school ECW, and probably some legends as well. I've got a feeling we're probably going to see a shift towards the younger characters as the highlights being the cover model. So I'd say probably at the moment, Seth Rollins would probably be your guy to get the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I would really love Finn Balor, because, again, if you go over to our groups and have a look at the cover, the Finn Balor one is fucking epic.
Well, I can understand your want and your desire for Finn Balor, but I don't see it happening, at least not this time around. Sure, because of what happened in Japan, he's got gold now. But that's for NXT, not Raw. We haven't really seen Finn on Raw yet in any kind of real, stay or anything like that. So, I can see Rollins. I wouldn't mind seeing Ambrose. What do you think the chances are we'd see Lesnar?
I see Lesnar as the special edition guy for the year.
Okay.
You know how they've, like, in the past, they've had the Bret Hart edition, they've had the Stone Cold edition, the Undertaker edition, Hulk Hogan. It was that separate one that sort of focused on the character. I reckon Brock Lesnar's going to be that special edition this year.
I guess that's possible.
Because seriously, see the appeal in the marketing idea of WWE 2K16, the Beast Edition.
Yeah.
And you got Brock Lesnar on the cover with, you know, the autograph card and whatever else they want to do this year. Because I reckon after what they did for the Hulk Hogan edition last year, they got to step it up a bit more.
Just
inserting an autograph is just not enough anymore.
Not quite.
We need extra stuff. Like the Undertaker's was a specialized casket. And you got a decal for your controller. You got the first disc of a DVD release. You got the autograph and other little bits and bobs. The Hulk Hogan one, you got an exclusive Hollywood Hulk Hogan pop vinyl. You got one of those collector blocks of wood that have the piece of the mat on it. And, of course, an autograph card and everything. So, you know, they really need to keep up with what they've done in the last couple of years. And I have no idea how they do it with the Beast.
Well, yeah, open it up and then you get F5'd and then slam through your dining room table.
it wouldn't surprise me. And to be honest, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they probably go maybe a Suplex City t-shirt this year or something if they go for Brock Lesnar as a special edition.
That would be good. I'd get the Brock Lesnar edition just for the t-shirt.
I wouldn't, because they usually pack in like a medium or a large, and consider him a guy that takes a 2XL shirt.
Yeah, well, I don't.
It's annoying.
Well, for me, it's a large is good enough. But so, yeah, I would. With you, yeah, different story. I get it. But what do you think about, and everybody listening live in the chat room, give us your thoughts on who you want to see on the cover or who you think might be the one on the cover. We'd like to see what you guys think. But Oh God, Roman Reigns.
For those people wondering, the other art assets that I had personally, I've actually got the poster images or whatever they'll be using for Bad News Barrett and Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. I just didn't make covers of them because I felt neither of them have a chance.
And there you go. What chance does Reigns have?
Yeah, he's got a chance, but I really don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I don't see people sort of going, "Yeah, hey, Roman Reigns is on the cover of a video game. Yay."
Well, in your opinion, in your estimation, would it be too early for Kevin Owens? Because he's one of the guys I was thinking about.
Oh, 1,000 years too early.
Yeah. Like next year, maybe. 2 years from now, almost positively, if they keep going the way they're going with Kevin Owens. Not right now. It just seems like the most logical would be Rollins right now.
Yeah, Rollins is sort of the face of the company.
Yeah.
He's WWE champion, so it makes sense that he would be the guy that they throw on the cover. It's not like they can do Cena for like 800 times in a row.
Yeah, no kidding. But that being said, I'd like to see Ambrose on the cover.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Like the art that I've got of him is not too bad. Probably one of the worst poses to try and work a cover around, but it's doable.
Well, those who know me know that I am a Dean Ambrose fan, and I like what he does when he does what he does. Even though they give him some stupid shit, he actually turns around and makes it fun. And I see a really, really rich future in store for this guy in WWE. And definitely at some point he's going to make one of the covers sometime. But, like you said, like I agree, probably the most logical thing to do right now would be Rollins. For all the reasons that you've already stated. So, but I'm sure a couple of people would want to see Kevin Owens on there. Did you hear about Pro?
Just as much as I'm sure there'll be people who want Roman Reigns on the bloody cover, but, uh-huh. You know, I'm sure there's somebody out there, you know, who'd probably want to see Bray Wyatt on the cover.
Lindsay. That was good. We are now joined by our Florida Storm correspondent, Mr. Omega.
Yeah, thundering and lightning all damn night over here.
Yeah.
I thought that was fireworks.
No, that was last night. Thankfully, today was a little bit wet, so no one really brought out any of the leftovers.
Well, there you go. Yeah, yesterday we had a flash flood with hail, shut down the downtown part of the city here, and then it moved on. And it hasn't been as warm here as it has been the rest of the week, but I guess Starscream Josh, if we had a What Happened to Omega contest, you'd win it because he said there's a whole bunch of storms in Florida. So
yeah.
So why don't we catch you up? We've already done Win and Fail, me and Mace. It's your turn to give us your win.
All right.
Nothing like jumping into it. Do we need to waste time while you Google?
No. The only one I would actually think of was the Beast in the East special.
Okay, so exact same thing that Mr. Maceman picked.
Yeah, well, at least an hour's worth of it.
Okay, so you're at 50-50 where Mace was 80-20.
It had a very weird dynamic where it feels like house show, NXT TakeOver, SmackDown main event.
Yeah, it had definitely a different flavor to it, like what we were talking about. But being that it was in Japan, you guys have watched wrestling shows from Japan. You've watched Japanese wrestling shows. You know that Japan is a different world altogether. And this just alludes to what we're going to be talking about later on, but it just gave me that feel that it was tailor-made for the Japanese audience, so I didn't have a problem with it.
Indeed, and we'll be talking about that even more in the second hour.
Absolutely. We're about 30 minutes away from it because we're going to be taking the time out pretty quick. What was your fail for the week, Mega?
Any time they put Big Show versus Mark Henry together, which... for some reason was twice this week, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It was either that or... It was either that. I hate to repeat last week, but the Bellas... They turn again? Or it was like last week just like a fluke?
They just can't make up their minds and decide what the Bellas are. That's all it is. It's like, well, what's going on? Well, you know, they're on Total Divas. So what? Are they like the winners or the losers this week? Well,
and at the very least, like, if they're going, like, most of the Divas roster are mostly just a variant of a bitch anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At least keep it consistent.
Or at least try to.
Yeah, I genuinely don't understand it sometimes, because it's such a weird little... It's such a weird thing, where it's the one part of the roster where people just kind of throw their hands up and just ignore the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, so just
remember, we're now on the road to 300 with Nikki Bella.
Yeah, it's going to happen, too. They want to get somebody else other than AJ having the record.
And if they were doing that type of shit, they would be getting somebody to beat a certain 400-plus day world title record.
Yeah. Well, what can you do? The discussion that we're having that you showed up halfway through was who you think is going to be announced on the cover, WWE and 2K. Pretty much our consensus was Seth Rollins at this point in time.
They usually put a face on the cover if they can, and I'm hard-pressed to think of one who isn't Cena right now.
Yeah. Don't say Cena. Cena's not going to be on it. Forget it. What do you think about Dean Ambrose?
That's the thing. You put it on the cover, it's not just identity, it's selling power.
Don't think Ambrose has that selling power?
He doesn't have the marketability.
Okay.
That's why Cena gets so many damn covers, because everyone freaking knows Cena.
Yeah, and he's like the top guy in the company. how much would it hurt you to see Roman Reigns on the cover?
Like, for me personally, I don't care. It's a cover.
Yeah.
You know, these days, especially now that digital distribution is such a major thing, covers really mean fuck all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's barely a marketing thing in the store anymore. All it really has to do is say WWE 2K16, and it's probably good enough.
Well, you would think so, but it's still going to happen. Mace was I brought up Brock Lesnar, and Mace was saying that might be one of the special edition ones, which I think makes, you know, the most sense to use Brock Lesnar that way.
I don't know so much if Brock would be one of those, because that is a really marketable name and face you can put on it. Like, mm-hmm. Even when he was new in the WWE, they still put him on the front of the cover. They put him on the front of the cover with one of his catchphrases.
Mm-hmm.
2005, Here Comes the Pain on PS2.
Right.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah. So... You're saying they normally put a baby face on the cover. As of right now, basically by default, Brock Lesnar is he's the biggest baby face of the company right now, isn't he?
Just kind of amazing, because I figured whoever broke Undertaker's streak would have been the biggest heel for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Except that he's going against the Authority, so...
We never took into account that it's Brock Lesnar and the fact that people love violence.
He's got a point. You know that. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, you crushed the biggest number in our entire industry.
There you go. Now you're all caught up.
We forgive you.
There you go. Now that you are now all caught up with us, how was that? That only took 8 minutes. To catch up. So that's impressive, yeah. So, guys, Pro Wrestling Illustrated announced this week that they don't recognize TNA's World Heavyweight title anymore as an actual world title. They're only recognizing the WWE World Heavyweight title championship belt as a true world title. What a kick to the brain.
Well, it's not really a kick to the groin, because when was the last time Pro Wrestling Illustrated was relevant?
Yeah, but well, even that irrelevancy won't acknowledge TNA.
That tells you, like, how bad is TNA when something that's not as relevant as it was in 1999?
All right. Well, to be fair, like, the TNA world title, like, really isn't properly representing. You know, at least the WWE championship goes to other countries a lot more often. It travels. I still think...
Sorry, go ahead.
You know, it travels the U.S., it gets defended a lot of places. If TNA wants to name it the Orlando Championship, fine.
And then it can be recognized as the Florida State Heavyweight title.
Really? Really? You want EC3 representing your state there, Omega?
No. I want him representing that town.
There you go. So... Yeah, you know, PWI, I still pay attention to the top 500. Don't you guys care about that?
Not as much anymore.
No? That's the only thing I find PWI useful for.
Well, the only... Like, if I look at the PWI 500, it's just to work out how long down the list until they get to somebody that is not in the WWE. Mm. Because every year, like, at least 7 of the top 10 is... WWE talents, and it's usually John Cena at number one and a Bella at the number one spot on the female side. And then you'll have like 2 TNA talents and 1 independent.
No.
Yeah. That, and it's also fun trying to find where are the Aussie guys somewhere in the late 400s.
Are the Aussie guys always that low on the list?
Yeah, I think the highest one we've ever had got to about 360 something.
Damn.
And that was Matt Silver, who is now known as Buddy Murphy in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to really follow all of that. Like, there used to be some kind of importance to it to me, because, you know, I had a point now, and I'm trying to look it up just to confirm it. I'm not coming up with it. What the hell? fuck it.
Okay, moving on.
I don't know. Like, I used to take more credence in that one until John Cena started getting listed as number one wrestler, which, for marketing, fine. For brand recognition, for keeping kids watching, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. He's nowhere close to the best wrestler.
Oh.
Like, you know, in the ropes, you know, in the ring itself, uh-uh. Like, there should be no touching that. Like, number two one of those years was Samoa Joe.
Yep.
Way better in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Edge was a runner-up on one, not even a runner-up, like, I'm looking at the list now, like, fourth place that same year. He was better than Cena.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you got a point about it. Yeah. So tomorrow night, immediately following Raw on the WWE Network, there's going to be a live Dusty Rhodes tribute. Guys, you going to watch it?
Considering that this is story time about Dusty, and, you know, you've got Ric Flair there as one of the storytellers, hell yeah.
Okay. If it was just another, you know, old Dusty was great, and he was a fantastic guy, and he helped out NXT the way he did and stuff like that. You know, it's like, guys, he passed away. You've spent a week and change already tributes. But the fact that we're going to hear road stories makes all the difference.
If this was going to be a tribute special, just a straight-up tribute special where they have small snippets of interviews and stuff like that, I would skip it, because I've already seen that. And, yeah. You know, Dusty Rhodes, yeah, he, great man, did great things for the business, but I don't need 10,000 tributes to the man.
No,
Road stories are a different kettle of fish altogether, you know. Road stories are always fun, road stories are always interesting, except for the fact that I reckon a lot of the really good road stories, especially from Flair, aren't going to be making it onto television.
Yeah, there are a few of them that will, you know, never see the light.
Basically, anything from the basically anything from the NWA days is not going to make it on the television, unless it is nice, clean, and PG rated,
which might be two stories. If you're lucky, some WCW stuff will get edited out too. Just because it's Road Stories, I'm gonna be curious enough to tune in, and I hope that it's a really good thing. But yeah, excuse me. Yeah. You know what? That being said, I think what we should do, because we're 46 minutes into it, why don't we take our first break of the evening? Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Call in segment coming up in just a little bit. I'll give you the number now so you write it down. 267-297-1397. Get ready. We'll tell you when to call in. We'll be back right after this.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the search for Rob Parks.
Do we call Rob first on iCall one more time?
Yeah, let's try that.
Search for Rob Parks. Are we kind of late to call hotel?
Not really. Probably only two there. They have people at the front desk.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voicemail.
All right, I have to go find my goddamn wallet.
It's not like you need it for this.
Rob does. Rob would.
Why?
Rob cares.
Why? Pay for his funeral.
His funeral costs a lot. For donating his ass to
medical research.
Yep, that's what we did with my dad. He got it free. Hey, it's what he would have wanted.
I understand that, but that's such a due thing to do.
It's what Rob would have wanted. Okay, so he said it was the gem of the hidden gem, yes? Something like that?
Yes.
So by that, does that mean we should probably rule out something like the Super 8, the Doubletree Hotel? Doubletree? We used to be Doubletree. What's Marriott? No. That's well known. La Quinta? What's that translate into? Sleep, probably. Geneva Motel. That's... Send me to the right page. What the fuck is wrong with this fucking thing? Looks like ass. He said he was on the third floor. There's only two.
No, that's not it.
Unless Rob is really hammered. That's nice. That's cute. okay, I'm gonna have to, there's a reason that, you know, words actually work together sometimes. Now, I can't see how many floors that would be. It says a hidden treasure.
Yeah, that's not it.
No? Why not?
Because he's not at a country inn, he's at a hotel.
Well, hey, Ramadan Inn and suites, banquets, and conventions. Well, let's see what the Best Western has.
And Rob could be exaggerating with the words hidden treasure.
But that place looks expensive. No, but more expensive than what Robbie might have. Doesn't that look a little expensive for Robbie's taste?
He wasn't paying for it.
Oh. No, what the fuck am I supposed to say since you want to be a little bitch and not say anything?
This is fucking stupid.
Good morning, thank you for calling W2 Guest Suites and Conference Center in Downers Grove. This is Arlene at your service. How may I help you?
Hello, I'm looking for a friend of mine by the name of Robert Parks. This might have been one of the places that he was staying at. I was wondering if you have him staying with you. He would have been on, I believe, the third floor.
Okay, do you want to speak to this person if he's here? Because if he's not here, I can't tell you whether he's here or not.
Yeah, I would like to speak to him.
And what's his last name?
Parks.
P-A-R?
P-A-R-K-S.
Okay, can you hold on a second, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Celebrate the spirit of romance all year long with the DoubleTree Sweet Romance Getaway Package, including deluxe accommodations for two, a bottle of sparkling wine on arrival, full breakfast the next morning, and early check-in and late check-out where available. Surprise your loved one with a sweet romance getaway today and make the most of your precious time away at DoubleTree.
Board meetings to coffee breaks. Our experienced DoubleTree meeting staff will ensure that everything is the way you want it.
What's the first name?
Rob or Robert.
Okay, I'm sorry. We don't have
it. Okay, thank you.
Get ready as the Godfather of Extreme returns to the scene of the crime next week on CB Radio.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after the Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Tell us what to do.
Yeah.
You think you could tell us what to win?
Yeah.
You think you better?
Yeah.
Well, you better get ready to bow to the master.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. I've got two words for you. Suck it!
Putting four miles to a stop, beat my mind. I keep it rocking that bottom line. Suck it, two tears in the bucket.
I know I'm sexy, I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
And I guess welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, because somebody's out having a smoke when he should be bringing the show back from commercial. Not that we're looking at anyone in particular, Timothy. Especially now because I have no idea in which direction we were supposed to take the show at this stage. Because we still have a little bit of news left, we still have a show to talk about, but we're still waiting for a certain somebody from Japan to call in. And, yeah. How's things in Florida, Omega? Awesome. I am here by myself. Isn't this a great way to bring the show back, ladies and gentlemen? Hoo-yah. I hear breathing. Someone's there. Someone else talks, so I'm not lonely. Sheesh.
What's the matter? Did everybody abandon you?
Yes!
I was told 7 minutes.
From commercial, you... Well, tough shit. You took too long.
Well, I had to stop at the fridge and grab a nice frosty beverage. Hang on. Here we go. I drink entirely too much of this stuff, but only on Sunday nights, so you can't call me an alcoholic. Can you? Maybe I'm a part-timer.
We could if we want to.
Oh, there you go. So when you brought everybody back and nobody showed up, what did you talk about?
Nothing, because I was scared, frightened, and alone.
I don't see you being
scared. And I'm not the one controlling this motherfucker, sir.
I don't see you being scared and frightened when you're alone.
That's true. That's how I spend 99% of my time. And holy crap, I can hear the thunder in Florida.
Is there flat thunder in Florida?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I show up and then Omega comes back.
Are you hear the rains down in Florida.
Are you scared of thunder?
You can't live in Florida and be scared of thunder. You can't.
There's that much of it, is there?
You'd be curled up in a ball screaming all day. Every day.
Too much thunder. How do you feel about spiders and snakes?
I'm not particularly a fan of either.
Okay, don't go to Australia. Have you seen some of the nightmares they have that they call spiders?
What, those small things?
Those small things. No, I'm talking about the big-ass ones that make the internet memes.
Oh, you mean like the bird eaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got those. Size of a dinner plate.
Spiders big enough to eat birds. I mean, what the hell is that? Jesus. I'll tell you.
Well, supposedly we're starting to get Americanized tarantulas down here now, too.
Really?
Yeah, well, the big hairy motherfuckers from the U.S. somehow are now multiplying like crazy in the Northern Territory. So that's the upper part of the middle of the country. Thankfully, many, many hours away from myself, so I don't have to deal with the motherfuckers. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, okay, here's a little bit of Australian trivia for you. For all the really big, scary shit that people see and think, you know, everywhere in Australia, no, it's usually the middle of the country is where you find all that stuff.
Where,
like, if you come out to where I live, you don't have any of that type of shit. Like, you the worst you get is you might see a snake going through the backyard. That's it.
God.
Or
damn.
Spiders as big as your hand.
Segregation laws in Australia are tougher than I thought.
No, it's not like, let's not get into Australian laws, shall we?
Here you go. So, coming back from the break, welcome back, WTR Sunday Night. And, yeah, Chase, we do the show via Skype. If you don't want to pick up a telephone and call us when it's time to call in, you can actually get in touch with us on Skype. All you have to do is Skype Sir Rockin'. And we'll bring you on the show. But once again, everybody, we are going to be doing a call-in segment coming up pretty soon. If you missed the number before the break, I'll give it to you right now one more time. 267-297-1397. And we'll open up the phone lines momentarily. But that being said, where were we? And what should we talk about now?
I don't know. Do we have any news left that could fill 15 minutes?
Not a whole hell of a lot. So I think we're just going to, what is the term I'm looking for? Not freebase, because that would be illegal and potentially flammable. Freeform Associate, Free Associate.
I have no idea what he's going for at this point.
No, me neither. He's talking that weird Canadian thing again.
I'm trying to think of that. There's like a word or a phrase I'm searching for and I can't figure it out. But yeah. Oh, did you guys hear that Vince McMahon is kind of upset with the Raw ratings lately, and he's looking to actually shake up the program somehow to bring people back?
Is this who's shaking up what now?
Vince McMahon is planning on shaking up Raw to try to regain lost viewership.
What's he going to do? Blow himself up in a limo again?
Well, I don't see how that will regain lost viewership, but what could he potentially possibly do? I mean, they brought Brock Lesnar back last week early because the ratings were sagging so bad, and that didn't help. It was last week. Like I mentioned off at the top of the show, Mace, the Raw rating for last Monday, they had absolutely no competition. There was no football, no baseball, no hockey, no playoffs, no nothing to compete against. And they had their worst viewership since 1997.
But Brock wasn't on that show.
Last Monday?
He wasn't on Raw Monday.
This past Monday?
This past Monday, Brock wasn't there.
This past Monday, he wasn't there.
Oh, it was the Monday before that he got the beatdown. That's right.
He was on a flight to Japan.
He was on a flight to Japan. That's right.
No, he wasn't flying to Japan. He was walking. That's why he was pissed off when he got to the arena.
I thought he was pissed off because he was awake.
I don't know. It could also be that was the first time they're telling him that he's wrestling Kofi Kingston. There's always a reason for Brock Lesnar to be pissed off. Like Omega said, the guy wakes up angry.
But so, Tim, what could they do to change Raw?
Here's the hard part. I haven't got a clue what to do that would be a quick fix. Other than shrink the goddamn thing down. 3 hours is too long. They're not going to, but I don't think they ever should have gone 3 hours.
Now, to turn it around, does this fall on Seth Rollins as champion that he's not able to bring in enough viewers?
It's not Seth Rollins. He might wind up eventually getting blamed for it because the title holder does usually wind up, you know, with the brunt of the problem. The last couple of weeks, Raw hasn't increased viewership up to the main event like we have seen in the past. It started flat and stayed flat, and people actually were tuning out. It's not Rollins' fault. It's the writing. Maybe you need to look at that seriously and change it up and make it, yeah, sure, I understand. They want it to be kid-friendly, but you can still have a good show that's not going back to the Attitude Era and not kid-friendly.
Surprises, hooks for the following week, those sort of things. You don't have to go over the top, but that gives people a reason to tune in.
Do they need cliffhangers?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Do they need to do something? Oh, tune into WWE Network to see how this all unfolds! And then show you 5 minutes of shit on the WWE Network and then carry it over till the next week? Or should they pull a WCW and have everything break down in the last 30 seconds?
Laugh as much as you want at that WCW stuff. It got people to tune in.
It did work, but after a while it got tired.
Well, then you don't overuse it as much as WCW did. Like the beatdown with Brock Lesnar, they could have ended that in a way that's like, they're beating down Brock Lesnar, all of a sudden it's like, okay, we've run out of time. That's the biggest, that's another problem with Raw, is that they've got the freedom to use upwards of an extra 20 minutes into the third, into the fourth hour.
Mm-hmm.
To finish whatever they're doing. Instead of, we've hit 3 hours, show's gotta end. Which would mean they'd have that dramatic ending.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we if we want to go till, you know, 10 past the hour, 20 past the hour, we can. Because the network allows us to do it. So every week, everything's tied up, no matter what happens. There's no drama. There's no draw to bring you back next week if everything is wrapped up every week.
Question is, when was the last time there was that hook for the following week?
I can't remember the last time Raw did a hook. One of their main problems was they've got SmackDown. Right?
I think it was something that somebody got curb stomped through the cinder blocks.
Not Dean Ambrose.
Orton.
No. Orton.
But even then...
And they made you tune in the network to make sure that he was all right. Even something as simple as that was worth doing.
I just want to see Randy Orton RKO out of nowhere. Everybody.
No, because then that would get boring. Remember when DDP used to do that?
Remember when it was called a stunner?
Yeah. See, the biggest problem at the moment is that there's nothing really to draw in. But take a look at what has drawn people in feud-wise. You know, a lot of people were really getting into Rusev versus Cena because it redid basically USA versus Russia. It was patriotism that drew people back in. You take a look at what's going on currently with Owens and Cena, it's a personal story. Owens isn't just going after the US title. He wants to destroy Cena because Cena is the face of the company. Cena is the guy that everybody seems to have to bow down to. Cena's the guy holding the company back. He's basically voicing the negative opinion of the WWE fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And it's drawing people to it. You know, the thing is, like, personalized stories work so well. Yet, what's our main focus that seems to be opening every single fucking Raw? Seth Rollins and the Authority. Nobody gives a shit about the Authority anymore. We're not in the culture that we were in 1998, where you had Austin going up against the evil Boss McMahon. Not as many people these days are jumping up and down about their bosses.
Yeah.
So to have that as the focus of your wrestling show every week, people don't care about that anymore.
So having the Authority show up on Raw doesn't increase the ratings?
God, no.
Having them not show up on Raw, what does that do to the ratings?
Nothing either, because there's always reference to the Authority.
Uh-huh.
You know, if Steph and Triple H aren't there, Kane's stepping in as the director of operations.
Which is basically, he's being used as the voice box for him.
I think that the company has just really lost the ability to write compelling characters. And unless the guys are able to do it themselves and go against the grain of the company to create a personality for themselves, they don't seem to really have anything else. Like, the most of the guys have come out and basically either just said, you know what, I'm a straight up wrestler, I'm great, I speak five languages, hi Cesaro. My name is Kevin Owens. I am the average Joe who got to wrestle. I represent all the people that are pissed off at the WWE and John Cena, and I'm going to change this company proper. People are drawn to it. You know, I am Rusev. America sucks. Boo, you evil bastard.
Come back and tell us how much more we suck so we can say boo more.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You know, and yet you turn around and it's like, oh, I'm the Big Show. I'm tall. So? I'm Mark Henry, the world's strongest man. Yeah, we've known that since, like, 1996. Fuck off. Oh, I'm Roman Reigns. I'm big Samoan and I punch people. And, you know, it seems that personality will draw people, but at the same time, the company doesn't want them to have personalities.
Why is it that when they see somebody getting such a massive response from the crowd, they seem to step on it and go in a different direction when they know that they could actually be better served by feeding into what the crowd is getting off on?
Because that wasn't in the plan. In WWE world, you have this set focus where, oh, people are like really cheering Cesaro, they're getting that swing he does is getting the crowd in, is getting the crowd into the match, and it's actually getting him over. Yeah, cut that shit out right now. Because we can't have some mid-card guy making, you know, Cena's reactions sound bad. You know, we can't have some. The mentality is protecting the top guys, not promoting middle guys to the top, no matter how much the popularity is, no matter how much the noise is for. You know, it's very rare when someone breaks through that, like Daniel Bryan. You know, the response he was getting was too loud, too consistent, too impossible to ignore. They had to push him to the top card. But when you're talking someone like, say, Barrett, who was actually getting the crowd really into the bad news gimmick, and then they saddled him with, you know, the albatross around his neck, which is that stupid cape he comes to the ring in now, and they make him the king of the jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I'm not sure like how like morale works in a WWE. I'd imagine it'd be extremely depressing to actually come into work, be, you know that you're gonna get like such a loud response, and have absolutely nothing come of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's been getting the loudest response lately in WWE just for showing up?
Besides Brock?
Yeah.
Ambrose, Cesaro, Wyatt to a degree. You know, those guys that sort of flounder in the mid-card or job out to the main event guy. Lana gets a better reaction than 9/10 of the roster.
Well, she can get that just for showing up, though.
Do you guys agree with me when I say I just don't feel any that there's any chemistry between Ziggler and Lana?
There really isn't.
I just feel that they broke up Lana and Rusev way too soon.
I don't think they broke them up too soon.
Okay.
I don't think they had a plan in place for breaking them up outside of, hey, fans are always behind Ziggler. Let's pair Lana with Ziggler because there's no way. Like, the concern was because she's still that Russian character that fans would not get behind her, fans would not properly support her. So let's put her with Ziggler, who the fans never turn on, and we, you know, try and keep that positive momentum going so we can, like, make her a face and, you know, do something major with her down the road. And that's all the logic that went into it. It's a marketing choice, not a story choice.
Well, was she just getting a little bit too much favorable crowd reaction before they split her and Rusev up?
That's one of those situations where I think WWE actually did listen to their audience.
But in that situation, and Mace having worked in the business and seeing this and knowing the reactions and knowing the type of reactions that you want to go for, I'm not excluding you in this at all, Omega, but I'm zeroing in on Mace because of the two of us actually having done this. Would something like that actually not make more sense to keep them together, let her keep getting the favorable crowd response while he's the heel, and increase the tension right there between the two of them and between them and the crowd?
Well, that's what they did. She was getting the favorable reaction, so what did he do? He got jealous, sent her to the back. You know, constantly yelling at her. And there's only so long you can get away with doing that before you have to split them off, or else you're gonna have the—I hate to use the term—but the social justice warriors down your throat, saying that it's all, you know, oppressive and assault and rape culture and rah rah rah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that type of storyline anymore, at least on, you know, primetime television.
Yeah. Well, I think we've wasted just about enough time. Why don't we have Mr. Nick Diddy give us a holler right now, and then we can talk about Beast from the East, Beast in the East.
Well, yeah, if you're out there, Nick, and you are listening, call in now. Otherwise, we're gonna leave you behind.
Yeah, so we should see him pop up on the skate thing almost any time. And then after everybody, after Nick calls in and gives us his post-live report from Japan, we'll have you call in and tell us your best and worst of 2015 so far. So we're just waiting for Mr. Diddy to pick up the Skype and the microphone and the headset and stuff.
I have stuff in the oven. Let's go, man. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, we haven't got all night. Hurry the hell up.
I'm making a soft pretzel. It's in the oven. Let's go.
Are you making soft pretzels?
A soft pretzel.
Oh, just one.
Yes, one.
Are you making?
I want a pretzel.
Did you just like pull it out of the freezer and it's one of those things you just you heat it up and cook it and eat it and it's already pre-made?
That's exactly what I did. Yes.
Oh, that's just nothing better than a homemade soft pretzel.
Don't criticize his pretzel. He's happy about his pretzel.
Yeah. I'm glad he's happy about his pretzel. I'm just saying that it's way better and more satisfying to have one that you've made yourself.
Rock, your pretzel's not good enough.
Apparently not.
Well, I would know.
Because Tim has to make his own pretzel, and we had to talk about pretzels because this person took forever to call in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God. Yeah, it took you long enough, Nick. Hey, Nick, welcome to WTR Sunday Night, buddy.
Yeah, konnichiwa to you lot.
Konnichiwa, yeah. What's all that noise in the background? Do you see you got kids running around?
Well, I've tried to find the quietest spot in the school to actually call in to talk about Beast in the East, as I was there on July 4th, so the other night to watch, as we saw one of the weirdest booked shows ever.
Uh-huh.
I think, so the opening matches were rather interesting, and then, like, it sort of went into, the main point of the show was to show off Brock Lesnar's back in Japan and Finn Balor's going for the NXT Championship, yet they show as the main event it was a rando tag between Kane and King Barrett versus Ziggler and John Cena. I know John Cena is supposed to be sort of like the headliner for those house shows, but when you pump up the vibe for Beast in the East and you're talking about Brock Lesnar being in Japan again and Finn Balor coming back to Japan, and you saw the reaction that people had, like the streamers, they don't even do that in Japanese pro wrestling anymore. Most promotions here have banned throwing streamers in for championship matches. So for them to do that for Finn was something really special. It was amazing to see at Yugoku. And then it was just some random tag match for the main event. Like, wouldn't you have put the NXT title match at the top, or put the Brock Lesnar match at the main event of the card, not the John Cena rando tag match?
Well, which of the two would you have made the main event, Brock Lesnar or the NXT title?
NXT title, hands down. I mean, David, when he left, it was a huge shock when David left, left New Japan. It was like Bullet Club was growing, and like he was feuding really well with Taguchi, and he was feuding with a whole bunch of guys in the junior heavyweight division, and it was amazing to. And so when he decided to go to NXT and leave New Japan, it was big news. And so, like, for him to come back was major news. Brock got a lot of heel heat, actually, at the event because of the fact that, like, he actually took away the third generation IWGP World Heavyweight Championship belt with him to the States. And it was only due to Kurt Angle winning it off him at IGF, Inoki's new promotion, that winning that title, they brought it back to Japan and retired the second generation belt and stuff. And so Brock actually got a lot of heel heat that night. And like Kofi sort of came out as more of sort of like the face in that match. So I would have put the NXT title as your main event.
Yeah, I think that would have made sense to me at least.
Yeah. Okay. You got to see the entire show. Now, we didn't. We basically saw everything from Jericho and Neville onwards. So what was happening before that match?
It was basically quiet. They just did a whole bunch of promo work, and they did another sort of ceremony thing for Fujinami, which I was sort of surprised that they didn't bring out Inoki as well, because they haven't done anything for him because he's also inducted into the Hall of Fame, but they didn't do anything for him in Japan. So why wouldn't you do a joined event with Fujinami and Inoki? So they did some, like, Hideo came out and they did the spot for the WWE Network for presenting him and saying it, and he was like, it's an honor to be a part of the Hall of Fame and stuff. And I thank you all for coming to today's event, and let's enjoy sort of shenanigans. And there was no dark match. By the time I got there, there was, like, that was the event that was going on. That was, yeah, then it started with the Chris Jericho Neville match.
Okay, so there wasn't the, from reports that I was hearing, we had Cesaro versus Daigo and Lucha Dragons versus New Day. Neither of those matches made
it. Those did happen, but I rocked up late and I got to the train got delayed and I actually rocked up late. So most of the pay-per-view that you got to see on TV, I got to see the dark events that they had, not the matches themselves, but I got to see the dark events that they didn't show on the Beast and the East. Do we call it a pay-per-view?
Special event.
I guess.
Special
like
event.
WWE Network exclusive, I guess.
Yeah, the special
special event.
Yeah, the special event.
Yeah, otherwise, I think, like, most of the event, like, I really thought that most people lost a lot of interest in that last tag match. I think the John Cena fanatics and stuff like that got to see these guys wrestle, and that was about it. But it wasn't really, once the NXT championship was over, the heat had just died and it was dead. So yeah, I really think they should have put that NXT title match as the top.
Yeah, but they
you also had the opportunity to sort of be in two different styles of crowd. Like, I know you've been to a few New Japan shows and stuff like that in the local area. You and I actually went to the Australian House show here last year, and you heard how the crowd was like there. But you've also now been to a WWE show in Japan. How would you rate the two crowds?
I guess, like, pro wrestling here is they treat it very much with respect. So the crowd was very much like if I went to a Noah show or to a New Japan show, where the crowd was, they did have like the Western style chants of the, like, let's go Cena sucks chants and the Kevin Owens sort of Finn Balor chants going on and stuff like that. But like, it was still very respectable. And like, when there was big moves, like, the crowd reacted very well to it. And like, we reacted to, like, say, for example, when, like, Chris Jericho did the Codebreaker, or when he put on the second Walls of Jericho, like, they reacted very well to it. I mean, when Finn Balor pulled out a Bloody Sunday, which was amazing, and people fucking marked out for that, and that was amazing to watch. But again, like, big moves, they would ooh and ah and stuff like that, and close pinfalls would be like, near falls would be counted and people would react appropriately to it. And so it did have a very good vibe. And I mean, like, Japanese fans tend not to be very smarky. And I don't think there's a lot of Japanese fans on the IWC. So, I mean, there's a lot of respect to the guys that do the work. And I mean, there's a lot of love for because a lot of the guys on the card had actually worked in Japan. I think the main event was the only match that had nobody who had worked in Japan prior.
So who would have gotten the biggest crowd pop?
Easily the David, absolutely, hands down. I mean, the guy was over. The amount of Bullet Club t-shirts and the amount of, like, the huge pop, like, he got, like Owens came out and just felt like, because on TV and stuff, Owens gets a fairly big pop when he comes out. But Balor just killed it. Like, that place erupted. It was insane how they just went crazy for him. I mean, Brock probably had the second biggest pop of the night. But again, his pop was a mixed reaction. Like, there was people excited to see Brock Lesnar, the WWE star. But then there's the old fans who remember Brock from when he worked in New Japan and he took the title.
Yeah, won the title.
He took the title and he took it with it, and the visa issues shenanigans. So, I mean, Brock probably got the second biggest pop of the night, but Balor easily killed it.
What kind of in-house crowd reaction did you hear at the top when Jericho showed up?
He got a very big pop in the way that, like, a lot of people, he hasn't wrestled in Japan for many years, I think, since the Lionheart days. And I think, a lot of the time, a lot of the people were very sort of shocked. Some of the old fans, like, I went with a bunch of friends who are really old fans, so they all remember Lionheart. So, like, and there was a fair bit of Lionheart chants. There was the mixture, weird mixture of, like, people saying Y2J chants, and then there was the Lionheart chant go, because that's why everybody remembers Jericho in Japan as Lionheart. And so he got a fairly big pop, and I mean, Jericho looked like he reacted to both chants and saw that there was the Y2J chant going, but there was also a lot of people going Lionheart, Lionheart.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you say that those three were the biggest noisemakers or creators?
Never got a lot of love from the crowd as well because of his time in Dragon Gate, and there was people like the actual smarks in the crowd would actually realize that Neville worked in Dragon Gate. Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen worked in Pro Wrestling Noah for a little while and stuff. So, like, I mean, the smarks knew, and the internet wrestling community knows these guys that had wrestled in Japan. But I mean, like, Neville got a fairly good reaction from the crowd, and, like, I mean, his match with, like, that match got a lot of love from the crowd.
Oh, good.
With Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did Owens' throwing of the flowers go over with the live crowd?
Oh, it gets atomic heat. But, like, the fans are like, oh, the fans were booing and stuff, and I think there was he got a lot of heat for it.
That's all right. According to him, he hates the country and everybody in it, so.
Well, no, that's kayfabe, and I mean, like, the only reason why he left Noah was because he got called up to do Ring of Honor. And so he had to go back stateside, and obviously family commitment said, like, it's better for him to go back stateside. But he did spend a bunch of time, like, I think 2 or 3 years wrestling in Noah.
Now, did he wrestle as a face or a heel in Noah?
I remember, like, one year he was a heel, and he got over very well. And it was during, because I think he came over in 2006. 2006, 2007, when he started doing the Scum angle and just the beginnings of Scum in Ring of Honor. So, he came across as a heel.
Okay. One of the things that kind of sort of like because of what I'm used to with the Japanese wrestling fan in general, all of the noise in the middle of the match that the fans were making, I was not used to that. With the Japanese crowd, that just kind of threw me off a little bit.
There's a lot of Western fans that have stated that is weird. Like when you watch American promotions like TNA or WWE, like that noise that they make in the side of the match and stuff like, and how they just yell out names and stuff like that. And like Western fans are like, that's weird. Why do you do that? That's just strange. But that's just their way of like cheering on people in matches. And unlike in the States where everybody sort of vocalizes together and stuff, like in Japan, like it's sort of that individual idea of going for the person that you want in the match. Like when you watch New Japan or you watch All Japan, Big Japan, Wrestle One stuff, like you'll hear a lot of people just do random sounds and stuff like that throughout the match and just calling out the wrestlers' names and sort of like cheering them on. Mm-hmm. Like a good example of this is a recent Wrestle One show where like the amount of times where you'll hear there was a three-way tag between a bunch of guys from TNA and the Great Kabuki, Great Muta and Tajiri. And like you get all these random chants for Muta and Kabuki and Tajiri and stuff. And it's just random throws of chants and stuff out there. So it's not that sort of collective sort of like, Let's Go Muto sort of chants, but like, I guess it's more sort of like that individual, like, I'm showing my love for you, and cheering you on, or booing for you, and jeering you and fucking doing that is more of an individual thing in Japan versus like the whole collective, like going, this is awesome type of chants.
So it was all in all a little bit strangely booked, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the success of the show, and they sold out a very, very big arena. Like the Ryugoku Sumo Arena is a very big arena, and they sold it out for both nights. And I mean, it's a big success. I would assume like maybe next year, if they keep Devitt in NXT for the next year, and then they might try and hold off him coming. They'll do another special next year where they'll have Kenta or Hideo or Itami come, and they'll do the title match in Japan for the NXT title. I think that might be the next case. So definitely, all in all, a very good show, but I just think the booking was strange.
Yeah. Well, anybody have anything else for Nick?
I'm good on this front. Just Nick, give us a call back later tonight. We need to talk about a few things because I've been needing to get all of you.
No worries.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Nick.
No worries. Take it easy, boys.
Have yourself a good one. All right. There it is. Good. Nick Diddy, regular listener to the program, friend of the program, and frequent caller to the program, giving us a what I guess you could call it a post-live report of Beast in the East.
Indeed. The fan's perspective, if anything.
Yeah. There you go. Right now, why don't we just muscle right through everything else here? You guys want to take another break?
I'm good to muscle through. Let's roll.
Let's take a break.
Fine. All right, everybody, you're listening to WTR. It's Sunday night. It's Rough Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to muscle through a break. 5 in a row, music-free commercial cruise headed your way on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Sierra Hotel,
India,
Echo,
Lima,
Delta,
Shield.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just at the tail end of this little Sunday night webcast now, we've got what we're calling Best and Worst of 2015 so far.
So far. Number is on the screen if you'd like to call in, 267-297-1397.
Or if you're outside of North America or don't want to pick up your telephone, how hell else are they going to get in touch with us?
Dial-up modem?
Sir Rockin' on Skype.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, right. All right.
On Skype, Sir Rockin'. And you're going to be able to, if you call in, we're going to ask what your best and your worst, in your opinion, is of 2015 to this point. We're not talking from WrestleMania till now. Rock and I had a nice 25-minute conversation about that last night. We're talking January 1st until this moment right now. So, yeah, I want somebody, anybody, please call in and let's hear your opinions. But right now, let's start off by asking Omega, in your opinion, for you personally, what was your best of 2015 so far?
I'm not the one to ask right now.
Okay, well, let's just scan Google for a little bit. Mace.
God.
What?
Rock told me about this last night. Oh, you've got homework to do. I have had zero time to do this.
Yeah, you know what? He brought this up yesterday, and I said, you know, we should do this maybe like halfway through, like 6 months after WrestleMania. He's like, no, let's do it because we don't have anything to do. I'm like, fine. Not like giving everybody a week to prepare.
Nope.
Oh, a week. I woke up to this half an hour before the show begins, so fuck.
Hey, I tried. He kind of put his fat foot down. So, oh, by the way, Rock, you have a fat foot.
Apparently I do.
Yeah, your foot's fat.
It's wide. I have a wide foot.
You have a fat foot. So, Mace, what do you figure, in your opinion, is the best thing so best far?
Give him a category, one of the four categories, so he actually has the specific topic to, you know, think about, Tim.
Okay, there you go. We're not gonna put you on the hot seat and try to figure out like the best whatever. Matches. What was your best match of this half year?
My best match for this first half of the year is the first encounter between Cena and Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That would be the one before WrestleMania.
From Fastlane.
Yes. Thank you, because I couldn't remember the name of the pay-per-view.
It's confusing. They changed it.
A lot of people are trying to forget.
But yeah, I like the tone of the match. I like the fact that it's two big, physical guys going at it. And this was just one of the first time in a long time that I actually paid full attention to a Cena match.
Uh-huh.
And it was also what helped propel Rusev to actually being someone of note in the company for the year.
Okay. Omega, do you have a best match of 2015?
Oh, I don't know. I've had a couple minutes here to examine the last 6 months of matches.
Just something that sticks out in your mind, the match that you just personally really enjoyed, that's all.
Okay, I'll help Omega out. Whether is it the women from NXT? Could it be Kevin Owens versus John Cena 1 or 2? Brock and Roman? at WrestleMania? Any of those stick out in your mind? Anything with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens? Anything from Finn Balor in the last 6 months?
That was the kind of stuff that is sticking in my head. Right now, what's sticking in my head is Finn Balor and Adrian Neville.
It was a damn good match.
It was.
Yeah, so you can pick that.
Goody.
Okay, there you go.
Tim, what about you, Tim? What's your best match?
Well, we have seen a lot of good matches this year, despite the overall bad writing of WWE programming. John Cena has had some very memorable top drawer match of the year candidate matches with several different superstars with his U.S. title open challenge. You know, the two matches with Kevin Owens so far have been real rock and roll. I mean, Rusev, all the matches between him and Rusev have been above average, you know, and the first one was top quality enough for Mace to pick as his. You know, that's just examples. My personal, to this point, and I don't know if it's because it's the freshest, most recent one that I've seen, or if I thought, you know, time will tell if it was really that good. But for now, for this point, it was 99.8% of John Cena versus Cesaro last Monday.
Interesting choice. Very interesting.
I was into it. I just like, whoa, look at this. They're going back and forth, and Cesaro is looking like gold in that match. Right up until WWE writing decides that they've got to let Kevin Owens screw it up just to sell that storyline.
It was logical booking.
It was. Like I said, right at the top of the show, it pissed me off because of, you know, I understood the necessity and it didn't make me hate the match or anything like that. It was just disappointing that thing didn't have a clean outcome. Because it was so effing good.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. So, you know, that was my, for, you know, to this point so far. Wow. We can stick with it and find out what everybody's worst match was.
Yeah, before they do, because it'll give them a second to think, I'm going to throw out an honorable mention to Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch from Unstoppable. That was a damn good women's match.
Now, Chase, we know that you dropped a whole bunch of different answers on Twitter today, but, you know, we'd love for you to call in and actually tell us what it is, because not everybody has Twitter.
And you said a lot.
And you did say a lot. So, you know, it's not gonna bust your balls to call in.
Yeah. Worst. Any idea, Mace? Worst match? I think it's kind of – there's a couple obvious ones.
Okay, just go back on any Raw or SmackDown, find Roman Reigns versus Big Show, and there.
Really?
I'm not even going to point out a specific match, just any match that involves Roman Reigns versus Big Show in some fashion, and just put it out there.
Okay. Omega?
The Intercontinental Elimination Chamber match.
Thank you, Omega.
Yeah, I didn't need to think about this one. For some reason, this one was just there. I mean, between Mark Henry coming into the match early and fucking up everyone, but Ziggler literally having to stop the match and scream calls to everybody to get them back on track.
Everybody do a schoolboy.
Everyone does a schoolboy. Let's break up pins during an elimination match.
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
God, it was one of the worst debacles I've ever seen in a match.
Yeah, it was pretty sad, pretty tragic. That's a good pick, man. Mr. No-brainer, I guess you could call that one, eh? Why not?
And the other honorable mention would have been Big Show versus...
anybody.
Big Show versus Ryback. Big Show versus Ryback from a couple of weeks ago.
You know, there's a fail right there. There's that Big Show Ryback thing where Big Show's taking Ryback's move on free TV and no build up for the pay per view. Why watch the match on pay per view?
Because they knew it was going to be bad, so they gave you the high spot early.
Well, that was
bad
dumb.
I know, it was bad booking.
So that gets double honorable mention for me.
But that could be worst moment. Bad booking. No. Hey, we have a phone call coming in. So we have a phone call. Caller, welcome to WTR Sunday night.
Hello. It is I, Chase.
Hey, Twitter. Chase, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
All right. Give us your best and worst match so far in 2015.
All right. Well, the worst match, hands down, of course, is going to be the Big Show versus Ryback, which I was in attendance at Money in the Bank. It was one of those I kind of wish I got my 50-something plus dollars back. best match probably would have been the same pay-per-view, Cena versus Owens 2, even though Cena won. Let's see, best storyline. That's a tough one. Probably, I like the NXT right now, what they're doing with the, they keep screwing it up with the big cast and Carmella versus, and, what are they called? Blake and Murphy. That was pretty good.
Okay.
And that was a good man one. Worst storyline is the Divas Division. That one's just a screw up. Well, the other good best division, I would say best storyline too. I really think that this Wyatt Reigns could be good. It's continuing, so maybe at the end of the year it could be really good. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else? I think all the best and worst I can think of. I mean,
all right, best wrestler of 2015.
Ooh, best wrestler 2015, probably Kevin Owens.
All right, worst.
Worst wrestler of 2015, Tamina, hands down.
Why Tamina? Why Tamina?
She just doesn't belong there. You can tell she just looks like she just shouldn't be there at all.
Okay, and best moment?
Best moment for me was probably Daniel Bryan winning the Intercontinental Championship because it was like he was at the top again at WrestleMania. For me, that was my favorite moment.
And worst moment?
Worst moment? Ooh. Probably when New Day lost the title. That was pretty depressing in person to say that. Because I thought it was too early.
Okay. I think that covers it.
Go ahead. The other person, worst wrestler this year, I think so far too, has been Adam Rose. He's not been very. It's a great story. They did only 16. It made him look bad and unfun, and like you can tell he doesn't enjoy the character.
You're not enjoying hot Adam Rose.
No, I enjoyed what he had, the Exotic Express and the Rosebuds. That was fun. I feel the most underrated wrestlers, Heath Slater. They need to bring back and have the three-man band again. Bring in Gregory Helms from Three Count and do a Three Count versus three-man band. That would be the coolest thing ever. Those are my thoughts, gentlemen. So I appreciate having me on.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks a lot, Chase. All right, Chase Merman in the chat room, ChaseM262 calling in, giving us his best and worst for 2015 so far. And anybody else wants to call in, you're more than welcome to. That includes you, Josh, if you want. You know how to get a hold of the program if you decide to call in too.
So throwing it back at you, Tim.
My worst match of 2015? Is that what you're going to ask me about?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that Divas match that just had absolutely zero chemistry between, what was it, a triple threat? Paige, Nikki, and what's her name?
Naomi.
Yeah, it just, there was no flow to it. It was, Naomi was just so off on everything. It's like lots you can give honorable mention to. It's just that was just like disappointing because I don't know how much we have talked about hoping they do something good with the Divas division, and they start doing it, and we're getting excited for it, and then they screw it up. Well, this was one huge disappointment for me. So that's my worst match of 2015 so far.
sticking with you, Tim, what's been the best story so far, storyline so far, in your opinion?
The best storyline or angle right now to this point has been the U.S. Title Open Challenge. We're getting matches that are pay-per-view quality. Not every single one of them is, but more of those top drawer matches than bottom drawer matches. And people are actually getting into, and I have proof because we've got Mace on the air with us, people are getting into John Cena matches again. They're doing something right.
Mace, you went with Rusev and Cena for best match. Does that carry over into best storyline angle?
No, surprisingly enough, I've got the other good Cena feud as the best storyline angle for this year, Cena versus Kevin Owens. And again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier in the night about a personalized story. You know, when Kevin Owens is standing there talking about, you know, his son is a huge John Cena fan and, you know, instead of his father being his idol, it's John Cena. All he hears is John Cena, John Cena, John Cena, John Cena from his kid, and he's pissed off and he wants to take Cena down just so he can prove to his son that he is better than John Cena, his son's hero. You can believe that. Sure, it's an asshole thing to do, but you can believe in what he's saying and what he's doing. And, of course, John Cena going, you know what? I am your son's hero, you know, but I'm the hero of all the people. It's like, great, try being Superman a little bit less, would you? But I'm enjoying that feud. As much as I enjoyed Cena and Rusev as a match, as a feud, I couldn't get into it because I'm not American. I was rooting for Rusev the entire time.
All right, Michael, where are you landing on this one?
God, I hate to just kind of fall into the crowd here, but geez, so many of the storylines have been so bad lately. Like the only choice I really have would be
I'll give you an option. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
That's true.
Just so you don't fall into the crowd. That was a good one.
It was. Okay, you know what? I
just giving you a little indecision.
You're giving him a lot of indigestion is what you're doing.
Does that count? Because the feud technically started in December.
Yeah, well, because it carried on for the first 4 months of the year?
And I think both Kevin Owens' feuds with Cena and with Zayn kind of got marred because one had to get one ended abruptly for injury. Mm-hmm. The other one, I don't think was booked completely right because it's WWE universe of everyone needs to get their win back.
Yeah,
it's a toss up. For the sake of being a little bit more personal and a little less about go USA, I will go with Owens and Zayn.
All right, throw it to
thank you. Thank you very much, Rock, for bailing me out on that one.
That's what I'm here for, giving you a little help. Worst storyline, Maze.
The Authority. Just anything and everything to do with the Authority. I'm sorry, this is not 1998. This is not 2002. I am sick of seeing this storyline repeated over and over and over, even though it is the New Generation Authority with Stephanie and Triple H, which is just the McMahon-Helmsley era rehashed. I'm sorry, these authority angles just don't play to me as a fan anymore. They're just boring. You know, I'd rather see wrestlers have personalized stories rather than we're trying to beat the boss. You know what? Who cares? Corporate wins. We're living in 2015. Corporations rule this world, just fucking live with it.
Tim, what's your worst storyline angle of the year?
Oh, I'm having a hard time thinking of anything other than what Mace just said. It's old. It's dead. It's gone. Like, let it go. Fuck. So, yeah, you know, I can't really do any better than that, because it pisses me off too.
Omega.
God. Again, I could so easily go with the Authority because I fucking hate, like, it should have ended when Ziggler ended it the first time. Like, I am so sick of, you know, these heels in absolute power have to be in control at all times.
You can go with Miz and Mizdow feud.
That was good. Until the end. You want to talk biggest failures of 2015, it'd be Mizdow. The other part of me just wants to go anything Bella, because I've absolutely despised the way the Bellas have been booked in the last year, let alone the last 6 months. Just because, as I've already mentioned in this episode, they don't know what the fuck they're doing from one week to the next. The only thing they care about Bella-wise is get Nikki to take AJ's record. And that's pretty much it. They will be faces, they will be heels, they will be doing twin magic when they look nothing alike. Like even in spots like that, just shows just how little how little care is going on in that entire division right now. And the whole division's back to revolving around those two.
Okay, Stick with you. Best moment so far this year.
God, there's so...
I'll let you get the crowd before they jump on the crowd and the cash in at WrestleMania. You can have... Let's see. Can we help you with?
Yeah. I'm looking through pay-per-view results now.
Sami Zayn's debut on Raw. That was a cool moment.
It's a cool moment. He lost.
He lost, but it was a cool moment. Kevin Owens showing up for the first time on Raw. Those just to name a few.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm thinking.
All right, you think, Mace, what do you got? Best moment.
My best moment for the year is Seth Rollins wins at WrestleMania.
See, I was trying to lead Omega that way, and he just wouldn't go there.
No.
That was... like, I'm sitting there, and it all has to do with the situation. I'm sitting there... weeks and weeks in advance in the same Raw threads that I visit every week, and I made the meme that was basically the I'm here to save WrestleMania with Seth Rollins coming out with the briefcase. And everybody's going, oh, no, that'll never happen, that'll never happen. Oh, they wouldn't be that stupid, it's Roman Reigns' time, rah, 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 rah. And then when it fucking happened, and watching everybody going, holy shit, I'm just sitting there going... I fucking called it. It's still fucking awesome. I called it. It's awesome. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you. So yeah, Seth Rollins wins at WrestleMania. That, and if I can sort of just put like a slight runner-up, Seth Rollins reactions for best moments. Because... for some reason, his facial expressions are fucking hilarious. Like the overreaction, wide-eyed, bug-eyed looks that he gets...
they're meme-worthy.
They're meme-worthy, and they are hilarious.
Yep. He's right.
To throw out one more, and maybe Omega may pick it, Tim may pick it, The Daily Show with Seth Rollins. That was cool.
Honorable mention.
All right, what do you got, Tim? Because we'll go back to Omega. Let's see, thanks.
What am I picking?
Best moment.
Kevin Owens beating John Cena.
All right, Omega, back to you.
This part of me really wants to say Owens powerbombing Machine Gun Kelly off the stage.
Well, you can. It's your moment.
Yeah, I know, I can, but I will actually go with Owens beating Cena. Because, okay, Seth Rollins, that's a clever move. No, I didn't quite see it coming. I never would have fucking called Owens beating Cena that clean.
All right, Tim, worst moment of the year.
My God, where do I start?
All right, kick back, everybody. He's got a list. Go.
Oh, shit. Everything shitty that ever happened.
More specific.
Oh, best moments. Honorable mention to Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, by the way.
That was a cool moment.
Yes, that's honorable mention worthy. Oh, shit. you know, my worst moment is Omega's worst match. The IC Elimination Chamber.
It's the whole thing. You won't even qualify it as a match.
No, it's a moment that it's a moment in time that I'll never, ever get back.
The moment Sheamus sticks himself and locks himself in the cage, everyone goes, what do we do now?
Locks him in the cage with a very, very tiny prop that no one points out.
Till the end, yeah.
Because that should have been a clever heel thing, and no, it just looks like he was an idiot.
Well, he was.
he was trying to entertain us.
There you go. Didn't work. Are you not entertained? No! You look stupid!
Exactly.
Yep.
Mace.
I'm going to go with the obvious one. Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble. You want to talk about a bad moment for the company as a whole? That's it.
There's a commercial in Canada starring a guy who's called Captain Obvious. And I think that that we're giving you that honorary title.
Yeah, pretty much, because people heard about it, they were pissed off. When it actually happens, they were extremely pissed off. And then we had to sit through months and months of Roman Reigns being the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship and a Roman Empire gimmick that they were shoving down our throats worse than anything they've done with John Cena. And if it wasn't for the best moment in Seth Rollins winning at WrestleMania, we would probably still be sitting through the Roman Empire right now and hating every minute of it.
Omega?
I've got two that stand out in my head. The first one would be Triple H beating Sting at Mania in a match he did not need to win. There was no reason for him to win other than to rub it in WCW's face. In what might be Sting's one WWE match, one WrestleMania match, that's what you give him? Okay.
Shit, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's my worst moment of the year.
It is edged out in my mind very slightly by the meta powers.
WrestleMania still has not lost the Royal Rumble, brother.
Aside from turning that gimmick face and turning it into like a full-on Hulk Hogan parody, which it was so better before that, as a heel gimmick where he's just delusional,
mm-hmm.
and Mizdow Sandow, you know, not escaping the whole impersonation thing in impersonating, you know, someone who's died.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just everything about it was just uncomfortable and just unpleasant.
Right, by the way, I'm surprised no one said for best moment, Rusev on the tank.
That was cool, but it wasn't the best moment.
Okay. Best and worst superstar of the year, Tim?
Best superstar, Dean Ambrose. The guy is just organic in everything he does. It doesn't feel like he's being pushed down everybody's throats, and the fans are rejecting him. Feels like it doesn't matter what stupid shit you give him, he's going to make it work, and he has. Mm-hmm. So that makes him best superstar of 2015 so far. Worst? Big Show.
Omega, best and
please
worst.
Please retire.
Omega, best and worst.
Best Kevin Owens. Everything the guy has done this year has been a big deal.
Okay.
For a guy who just came into the company, like, it's shockwaves as if he just jumped from WCW. The worst.
Hey, it's me, Zark Henry.
Oh, jeez. I think I have to go with him by default. For part of me is thinking Mizdow, but no, I got some enjoyment out of Mizdow this month. Every moment of Mark Henry has been pain.
Okay, Mace.
I've got Owens for best superstar.
Uh-huh.
Because from his debut in NXT through to his debut on Raw, this guy has been entertaining from start to continuing, because he hasn't finished yet. As for worst, to see a guy tumble so badly in the past, God, not even 3 months, Bray Wyatt. He went from being a great character last year to being, oh God, would you please shut the fuck up, to, oh, he's wrestling The Undertaker. This could do really well for him. And after The Undertaker, he has just fucking floundered to the point of, why is he even on the show anymore? It's been practically almost a kiss of death for any wrestler trying to regain any popularity as well. You know, this thing with Reigns isn't going to help Reigns in the long term. So, yeah. Sorry, Bray.
So that's the best and worst of 2015 so far. See if... Hey, Kane Kins, when you're recapping this, write down everything they said. Okay? So we can compare it at the end of the year. Nothing like throwing it at him at the end. Anyway.
Oh, he's just going to call you an ass.
I know. But now it's time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
To finish off round number three, the 450 Splash takes on the F5 Mace. Go.
I'm going to go F5, only because the delivery is fucking awesome. And it's Brock Lesnar, so he literally throws people around like sandbags. Whereas the 450, it's just like spin, 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 land. The only time that gets interesting is when they overspin and land on their head.
Which was only interesting when Brock Lesnar did it.
That was a shooting star press.
That was a shooting star, yeah.
Well, okay, so he still landed on his head. That was
funny. Juventud Guerrero used to be the one that would over-rotate and land on his head more often than not.
Yeah.
Which might explain a lot about him.
And his Juventud.
No, the fact that he was on fucking cocaine explained a lot about him.
Well, that
but within that hoovy juice.
I don't know, but it caused him to strip off and run around at an Australian airport naked.
Oh my god. Oh no, they're shooting things off again.
I think God is trying to decide for me.
And the lightning strikes.
Why am I angered, you lord?
Heart grows cold. Still,
if your house suddenly goes up and starts spinning and you land here, don't expect munchkins.
Well, then I really will have an F5, though. So that all works out. I kind of want to pick the 450 because it is a very, it's a more difficult, riskier, high, still high impact, very pretty move. But yeah, the F5 is just too dominant. It looks like a proper wrestling finisher, and it looks like it hurts like hell.
Tim?
Yeah, Brock Smash.
All right, we move that one through very quickly. Red Arrow versus the Tombstone Piledriver. Oh my god.
Jeez, you're asking me to commit sacrilege.
Yep.
You know what? Fuck it, Red Arrow. It's an amazing-looking move, and it's a very impactful-looking move. And it's a very unique move, whereas the Tombstone, let's face it, is a soft version of a pile driver. It is classic in that Taker's been using it for years, and it is a good move for a finisher. There's not a whole lot going on in a Tombstone pile driver, and it doesn't look like it hurts as much as a regular pile driver.
What?
Now we see why the storms are brewing around Omega, as he just went against The Undertaker.
Wow.
Okay.
If the lights suddenly go dark and you see smoke in your room, Omega, run.
Right.
Mace.
I'm going to please the wrestling gods and go The Undertaker on this one with the Tombstone Piledriver. because I don't want to die. But look, it is, the idea is, you know, greatest finish. Mm-hmm. Something like the Red Arrow, let's face it, you take the Red Arrow out of the WWE and put it in like Ring of Honor or Mexico, it's just a move. It's just,
well,
nothing.
To be fair, Mays, they turned a Tombstone Piledriver into a regular move in Ring of Honor. Anyway.
That's true, but we're also talking about a federation that has 17 super kicks a match.
Oh, God. That's just awful.
But it's like, if you get hit with an aerial move, there's a chance, there's a possibility that you are going to kick out. Whereas if you get hit with a Tombstone Piledriver, especially if it's done by, like, Kane or The Undertaker or, in, you know, the Owen Hart, you know, rest in peace, you're not getting back up for a multitude of reasons. And when we're talking about something that's going to end the match, yeah, a Tombstone Piledriver is a finish. Game over, end of, 1, 2, 3. Unless your name is Shawn Michaels or Triple H, you are not kicking out of this motherfucker. Or Brock Lesnar.
Mango was putting on his rain boots. Tim.
Ah, fuck it. I'm going to pick the Hurricanrana. No? All right, fine. Tombstone Piledriver.
How come?
Because fuck you.
Great analysis by Tim Stein. So, Tombstone moves on. So we get to our final eight starting next week. Sweet Chin Music takes on the Jackhammer, while the Top Rope Brainbuster takes on the Piledriver. It's next week. On the all-time greatest, now we go to quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Mace, we'll start with you. Why doesn't Tarzan have a beard?
I'm sorry, my brain just exploded. How in all these years have I never fucking noticed that? I'm gonna go with a Disney wizard did it. Because there is no way on God's green earth that he shouldn't have some sort of facial beard or at least stubble at all times. Yet, every time you see Tarzan, he is clean shaven. So, I blame the mouse.
Tim, why doesn't glue stick to the inside of a bottle?
Because it's not meant to glue the stuff the bottle's made out of.
Okay. Omega, if buttered bread always lands on the butter side down and a cat always lands on its feet, what happens if you strap buttered bread to a cat's back?
The cat mauls the shit out of you.
Yeah, you got a real pissed off cat.
You're going with that?
Well, in the theory of weight distribution, the cat would still land before the butter does. And also, they kind of disprove that bread and toast and whatever does not always land.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I like Omega's first answer. Go with that one.
Okay, we'll go with that
one. I'm trying to go with a scientific one, but yeah, fuck it. The cat's going to beat the shit out of you.
Mace, if you choke a Smurf, what color will it turn?
Purple.
How come?
Because I guess it's just a way to go darker than blue.
Okay. Tim, before they invented drawing boards, what did they go back to?
Back to the drawing board?
Yeah, before they invented them, what did they go back to?
The granite slate. I saw it on the Flintstones.
There's the obvious joke there, but we're not going to make it.
Shut up. You better not make it, asshole.
And finally, Omega, why can't Mr. Fork and Mr. Electrical Socket be friends?
because it's not conductive to getting along. You saw what I did there.
I was trying to come up with an electrical pun, and that, no, that's horrible. See, the fact is,
made him laugh. Shut up.
Made him hit his head and bang the microphone.
Yeah, that's different than laughter, Tim.
Somebody laughed. You banged your head.
I laughed. He banged his head. I was more laughing at Omega banging his head.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Now, see, the thing is, the fork and the electric socket can be friends. They just don't want anyone touching them when they are friends. And usually, someone is. Which is why things don't work out very well. If you can figure out a way of firing a fork into the actual electric socket, get along fine.
So, there you go.
And that's another edition of the original, the real, the genuine WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in and supporting WTR all the time and all that other fun jazz. Guys, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio.
Network.
I wasn't done. Shut up. Or also on facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Trivial Tim or at Calgary at Flames Forums.
With an S.
Yes, with an S. You can follow me on the Twitter, and that's all rock and roll and copacetic. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, is another post show.
This is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll give you all the highs and lows from Monday Night Raw. It's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
And Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern?
Yes.
It's another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rock, starring Lindsay Ward.
That was loud.
I know.
Yes, The Rock will talk NXT, a little bit of SmackDown, a little bit of Beast in the East, and whatever else we can possibly come up with. It's The Rock, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Simply, Rock Radio Show. Simple and easy. You can check out the website, which will be relaunched tomorrow or Tuesday, rockradioshow.com.
Yeah, you tried to get it done Thursday, didn't quite make it. Oh, well, hey,
hold on,
Saturday
hold on,
night.
Hold on.
What? What?
That was like 10 days ago. I was trying to get it done. Anyway.
Oh, there you go. You still didn't get it done when you wanted to get it done. Saturday night, midnight, or as close as I can get to it, it's the wild, the wacky, the unusual, the weird, the macabre, the strange, the X-rated, all that shit. It's CP Radio.
Rob Parks goes back to Chicago where he crossed.
Oh, you found Rob!
We did find Rob. He returns back to the place where we couldn't find him 7 years ago, Chicago, in that area.
Like, got run over by a car.
Yeah, and we called many different places trying to find him. 8 lanes of highway, he returns to the scene of the crime. 7 years to the date, Saturday night, live on CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, facebook.com/cigarettebutts. And Bandana's website is cbradiolive.com. And when some celebrity dies, it's hashtag Blame Robin.
There you go. Hey, next Sunday night, it's another edition of Russell Talk Radio. Don't we have to play Pick'em next Sunday?
Yes.
That's right. It's another edition of WTR Pick'em. We've got a running tally going. By the way, those of you who participated in the last pay-per-view Pick'em, you have to participate in this pay-per-view Pick'em this next week, like 1 week from tonight. Because we're doing a two, it's like doing a two-game point total. Whoever has the most correct pick'em answers for the most points
after the
pay-per-view in 2 weeks.
Out of the few people that were tied.
Yeah, you win the WWE fan on board. If you live in North America. So, yeah. That being said, we're done, guys. I want to turn the mic over to Mace, because he's got stuff to plug.
Yes, you can follow me online at the Twitter machine, at the Macing. You can also go to youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage.
Mace, you got to tell them where to follow you on the Twitter machine.
I did. At the Mace thing.
There you go.
Yeah, pay attention, rock and roll.
Okay, there you go.
So, for a third time, for those of you wanting to follow me on Twitter, go look for at the Mace thing.
Can I follow and you on the Twitters?
No. Anybody but Tim. You can also go and take a look at my video game reviews over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I recently reviewed J-Star's Victory vs. Plus. I also have coming up Lego Jurassic World and Batman Arkham Asylum as soon as I can get through the game enough that I feel like I really... I just like playing the game, even though it pisses me off every night. So, fuck the Batmobile. Don't buy it on PC. And watch the rest of my review later.
You can't buy it on PC.
Don't buy it when it gets re-released.
I will be fixed by then.
Omega.
So as always, my stuff can be found pretty much anywhere you can type in TJ Omega. That includes Twitter at TJ Omega, YouTube at TJ Omega, TJOmega.org, or the one place where it's a little bit iffy, TJ Reviews over on Facebook.
He has up right now his meet and greet for signing with Scott McNeil.
Mm-hmm. That's just become tradition at this point.
It is.
Like, it has to go up every summer.
I liked how he interacted with your little creature.
Yeah, you give him a plaything and he's going to get very distracted very quickly.
Yeah, go check out his videos. TJ Omega on the YouTubes. He does some good stuff.
Some,
not so much, but...
Yeah.
You know, he phones it in from time to time. But most times, pretty good.
Alright, that being said, we're done. Good night!
We should point out, Kinkins, you maybe should have left work earlier. Just saying.
Maybe take a week off, you dumbass. What is it, 1,000 days straight?
617, something to that effect.
Close enough.
Bye, everybody. WildTalkRadio.com